This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141. Or tryzona.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got a great show in store for you this hour and next, and we invite you to take part in it by calling us at 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255. You can come directly into the doctor's office, and you can pose a question to me live, and I'll attempt to answer it to the best of my ability. But we got lots of stuff to discuss with you, and we have some callers recorded from our website. You can also weigh in with questions at drhoffman.com, and if you go to our homepage and there's a black bar there that you click on, it'll prompt you to enter a question. We record those questions, and sometimes we use them as fodder for answering questions here on this program. So 877-726-TALK. Among the stories that we're going to tackle today, on the theme of it's not your fault, you're fat, there are many things that prevent people from losing weight. You know, you exercise like crazy and you restrict your caloric intake, and there are many things that block your body's ability to lose weight. Among them, stress. Yeah. And it's just been proven that stress can inhibit weight loss. We've long known that the production of cortisol, which is a stress hormone, is associated with stress. In fact, there's no blood test for depression and anxiety, but often we'll see patients who have high levels of cortisol, especially in the morning, and that is a pretty good predictor of mood-related disturbances. And so stress can be measured. I measure it routinely in patients who come to the Hoffman Center here in New York City. And the way we do it is we give patients a saliva collection kit with four tubes. One tube to be taken right upon wakening, one tube to be taken mid-morning, one tube to be taken mid-afternoon, and one tube to be taken later at night. And what you should see roughly is a spike in cortisol. That's our wake-up call in the morning. That's what gets us out of bed, up and at 'em, creates alertness, and dissipates the drowsiness of sleep. And in patients where that's low, they have a hard time getting out of bed. But where patients have very high cortisol, they sometimes wake up with a start at 4 a.m., can't get back to sleep. They have too much cortisol. Well, the pattern may continue through the day. Cortisol tends to decline. But in some patients, it remains high through the day, and then even into the night, interfering with sleep. And it turns out that high levels of cortisol help to keep the weight on, according to a study. Now, it's a little burdensome to spit in a tube four times a day over a long period of time. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, maybe for one day. We suggest patients, by the way, do it on a routine work day. Some patients say, well, that's a hassle. I don't want to do it at work. It's kind of indiscreet to be spitting into a tube at my desk. People are going to say, what are you doing? So they wait till Sunday, they're relaxed, and then they spit in a tube and the test looks like it's normal. Well, no, you're supposed to do it on a typical average day, maybe ideally on one of those stressful Monday mornings where you're faced with a commute and new work projects and the prospect of a long work week. That's a good time to get your cortisol checked. What they did in this study, though, instead of using the test tubes, they did something kind of ingenious. They measured cortisol in hair samples. Turns out that if you want to see levels of something over a fairly long period of time, a hair sample is not a bad way to get it, because doing a blood test, your cortisol may be high at that moment. You do a spit test, it may be high for that particular segment of the day. But a hair test shows cumulatively how much cortisol is being produced by your body. And so in this paper published in the journal Obesity, yeah, that's a great journal. It's got, they've got an excellent sports section, I understand. But it's a journal that deals with all aspects of obesity and its health consequences and weight loss. The paper showed that exposure to higher levels of cortisol over several months is associated with people being more heavy and more persistently overweight. So what's going on with cortisol? Why does it do that? Well, cortisol is the body's natural prednisone. Prednisone, a medication, anti-inflammatory drug, is actually a copycat of cortisol. And what happens when you take prednisone over a long period of time? You gain a lot of weight. The other thing that happens when you take prednisone over a long period of time is you get diabetes. You become more insulin resistant. It's type 2 diabetes, not type 1. And, of course, type 2 diabetes is associated with overweight and, moreover, sweet cravings. Some people, when they take prednisone for, you know, maybe they need it for a while for an asthma attack. Maybe they need it because they have a bout of ulcerative colitis. And when we give them cortisone or prednisone, they tell me that their sweet craving is through the roof. So cortisol can affect appetite. It can keep the fat on. And, oh, by the way, the other thing it does is it breaks down muscle. So you put on weight, but it's fat weight, and your ability to put on lean muscle mass declines. So your fat-to-lean ratio deteriorates. The other thing that happens when you have high levels of cortisol is your thyroid's working overtime to produce T3. That's the active form of thyroid hormone. There's a little conversion that has to happen in the body at the level of the cells. When your thyroid pumps out T4, it needs to be made into T3. And when you've got a lot of cortisol and a lot of stress, well, maybe that just doesn't happen that efficiently. And therefore, you may be experiencing borderline hypothyroidism, which slows your metabolism. Your fat burning decreases. Your ability to oxidize the fat that gets stored in your fat cells is impaired. So a lot of things happen when you're subject to stress. Stress is a factor in preventing people from losing the requisite weight that they should be losing with stringent diet and exercise programs. All right. Our number, 877-726-8255. And as I said, we got lots to talk about on today's Intelligent Medicine. How about this one? What happens when you consume lots of eggs? Well, eggs have been exonerated when it comes to heart disease. I've shared several studies with you that have appeared over the last couple of years that suggest that you can pretty much eat as many eggs as you want unless you have some relatively uncommon type of hereditary high cholesterol problem. It's been a real misconception that the cholesterol in eggs is responsible for the cholesterol that deposits in arteries. Yeah, it seems intuitive, but turns out not the case according to most studies. What happens to your brain when you consume a lot of eggs? Well, there's a study in this month's edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that addresses that particular question. And what they found was quite interesting. They looked at egg consumption in relationship to brain function and the risk of dementia. And what they concluded, they did this over 4 years. They concluded that there is no indication of a relationship between dietary cholesterol intake or moderate egg consumption with an increased risk of dementia. In fact, it's the opposite. They say, quote, "Our results suggest that moderate egg intake may have a positive association with certain areas of cognitive performance." Now, why could eggs be not only not harmful, they're not artery clogging in this case, jamming up the cerebral articles, cerebral arteries. Why is it that eggs could be beneficial? Well, eggs are a major source of choline. And choline is a building block for an essential neurotransmitter in the brain, acetylcholine, which is a major target for Alzheimer's drugs. Taking choline or phosphatidylserine seems to help the brain. And oh, by the way, the brain is largely composed of cholesterol. And so when people call you a fathead, that may be a real compliment because you need that cholesterol for your brain to function normally. In fact, studies have shown that the higher your cholesterol is past a certain age, the less likely it is you'll develop Alzheimer's disease. So something that is associated with risk for heart disease, turns out it's the reverse when it comes to brain disorders that rob you of memory. So eat those eggs, you can feel okay about that, even the yolks, when it comes to heart disease. And if you want to support your brain, they may even have a beneficial effect. All right, 877-726-TALK is our number. We await your phone calls, and I got lots more to share with you on this week's edition of Intelligent Medicine. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the Intelligent Medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great. But what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to kyolic.com. That's KYOLIC.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
The doctor will hear you now on Intelligent Medicine.
That being me, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our number 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255. And before we get to phone calls, here's an announcement from the folks who make NT Factor. If you're suffering from chronic fatigue, well, there's a nutritional formula that's clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract, and clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, even reverses some symptoms of aging. NT Factor is available in ProPax, which is a complete vitamin and mineral formula. It's a one-stop shop for your nutritional needs, containing antioxidants, pre- and probiotics, and omega-3s. They're all combined to help you feel better. But a while ago, I suggested to Nutritional Therapeutics that, you know, some people may want to just keep their favorite multi and still harness the power of NT Factor. So healthy aging was born. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with unique energy support of pure NT Factor in a potent delivery system. I've personally been taking NT Factor for years, and with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order ProPax or Healthy Aging, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. Okay, let's, we have calls from our website. You click on the black bar on the right side of our homepage, and you can leave us a question. And so let's take a question from Melanie.
Yes, I have H. pylori, and I've had it for 3 years, and I'm just wanting to know which mastic gum I should use, if it matters, because I know Walmart has it and a health food store. Please let me know as soon as you can. Thank you.
Okay. So the question is, and it's an interesting one, is about the use of mastic gum for the presence of H. pylori. Now, H. pylori is an organism that may be associated with the risk of ulcers or gastritis, or it may be even associated with a higher risk for stomach cancer, which is a rare cancer. And considering that, you know, maybe half of the world's population has H. pylori, the incidence, I think, is a little less in the United States because of better sanitation. I don't think just the presence of H. pylori calls for eradication of H. pylori. All too often, I think doctors are saying to patients, oh, you have a little bit of a stomach problem. Let's test you for H. pylori. Oh, it's positive, and we'll then give you a powerful combination of antibiotics and antacids called PrevPak, which will annihilate the H. pylori, but will also annihilate a lot of your good bacteria and leave you with maybe, you know, relief of your stomach symptoms, but a worsening of irritable bowel syndrome. You know, you may have diarrhea and urgency after that. So you trade one problem for another. Besides, getting rid of H. pylori also somewhat increases the risk for a problem upstream in your esophagus, reflux or GERD. And so just the presence of it doesn't worry me, unless patients are having ulcers or gastritis. Then, okay, it's reasonable to try and get rid of it. And one of the strategies is to use mastic gum. Now, mastic gum comes from a shrub that's prevalent in the Mediterranean area, that it resembles the pistachio plant. And it's been used forever, you know, way back to the time of the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, where it was used as a form of chewing gum, although I can't see why, because if you chew on that stuff, you'll rip out all your fillings. It's the worst chewing gum imaginable, because your teeth will stick together. But it's been traditionally used as a treatment for gastric problems, digestive issues. And it's been shown to inhibit the growth of H. pylori. And so studies have been done where patients with ulcers have taken this, and 80% of the patients taking mastic gum reported improvements in their symptoms of stomach pain. And there was evidence they had healing of their gastric mucosa when they got an endoscopy to look, you know, take a look, see, is the area red, is the area inflamed? It seemed to have a soothing effect. So this is the real deal in terms of not just eradicating the bug, but healing the stomach inflammation, if that's what you have. So when it comes to brand, I use a brand called Mastica, but you don't have to use one brand or another. I think there's not any great scientific studies, one brand superior to another. Other things that are helpful, cranberry extract, fish oil, probiotics. They're all part of a program to help you eradicate the H. pylori. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, plus more information on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
You remodel your kitchen. You remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-TALK is our number. And here's a natural way to lower blood pressure with a supplement. We've, from time to time, talked about the amino acid arginine, sometimes referred to as the pirate amino acid, arginine. Okay, so arginine triggers the production of nitric oxide, which expands blood vessels. It's the Viagra principle. It's also the principle behind nitroglycerin, which is used when patients have angina, and then they pop nitro, and it opens up their blood vessels. Arginine appears to have that effect, at least to some extent, when it comes to blood pressure. Study involved 81 people, and they looked at a supplement that contained a lot of arginine, 2.4 grams of L-arginine, and a smattering of the B vitamins B6, folic acid, and B12. Not much. Not mega dosing, but the arginine, substantial at 2.4 grams. And what they found was that there was a 6-point reduction in systolic blood pressure for the arginine group, but not in the placebo group. There was also, they did some studies looking at circulation, and they found that there was an improvement in endothelium-dependent vasodilation, the ability of blood vessels to expand in response to oxygen demand. So that's a pretty cool result, suggesting that that's one among several nutraceuticals that can have a beneficial effect on blood pressure. That, along with many other nutrients, fish oil, magnesium, chiolic aged garlic extract, and on it goes. All right, here's another item that I'll share with you. This is from the folks at Zona Plus, another natural way to deal with your blood pressure, but this is non-nutritional. If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, consider a safe, effective, non-drug treatment. It's the Zona Plus. You can lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally by regular use of the Zona Plus, which is a simple handheld smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. It guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology, and there's at least 22 clinical studies that confirm that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks, with, of course, no negative side effects other than that you consecrate 10 minutes a day to the therapy. You can try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, you can just return it for a full refund. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call 888-408-6141. That's 888-408-6141. Or try the special website we've set up for you, tryzona.com. All right, this on it. You know, there's been a debate as to whether vegetarianism is associated with depression. It's a real significant nutritional debate, because there are studies that show that vegetarianism is associated with lower moods and higher levels of anxiety. So you may say, well, is it the chicken or the egg? Is it that, yeah, maybe people who are more fixated on their diets, who become vegetarians, maybe they're more anxious. Maybe, you know, cool, calm, collected people are less likely to pursue kind of an extreme dietary option. That may be. But there's reason to believe that there is something to this. And a recent study, I think the study was done in Australia, it looked at 1,000 Australian women. Women who reduce lamb and beef in their diets are more likely to suffer depression, according to the new study. Now, that kind of confirms their hypothesis. We had originally thought that red meat, well, actually, it disproves their original hypothesis, because they had thought that red meat might not be good for mental health. You know, all that red meat, it's pro-inflammatory, not good for you. But it turns out that it actually may be beneficial. they say when we looked at women consuming less than the recommended amount of red meat in our study, we found that they were twice as likely to have a diagnosed depressive or anxiety disorder as those consuming the recommended amount. So even though many of these women were following a healthy diet, the lack of red meat made it more likely that they might suffer from depression. So what's going on there? Why could that be? Well, especially in women, iron is an important factor in mood. Many women, especially younger women, are suffering from iron deficiency. When you suffer from iron deficiency, it's more likely that you're going to experience fatigue and kind of brain fog, because you literally lose IQ points when you have low iron, especially if you're anemic. Not enough blood flow gets to the brain, not enough fuel for brain cells, and therefore iron is important in brain function. The other thing that's peculiar to Australia, less common here, cattle and sheep in Australia are largely grass-fed. In many other countries, of course, the cattle are kept in feedlots and fed grains, particularly corn rather than grass. And this results in less healthy meat with more saturated fat containing omega-6 and fewer healthy fats containing omega-3, which is what you get in oily fish. But in this case, in Australia anyway, and for those of us in America who consume grass-fed beef and lamb, we get omega-3s from the livestock as opposed to the fish. You're not going to get much in the way of omega-3s when you have a corn-fed USDA choice hamburger or steak. But if it's grass-fed, you're going to get some omega-3s. So interesting study suggesting that maybe there's something to it, that there is a relationship between mood and animal protein consumption that might be the real deal. Okay, 877-726-8255. Let's take a call now, one of our recorded calls. Oh, actually, no, Chris. We've got Chris, from a live caller from La Crosse, Wisconsin. How you doing?
Just fine, doctor. Hi, how are you doing today?
Thank you. Fine.
I was just calling about my mother. She's 93 years old.
God bless.
She's in very good shape otherwise, you know, but she takes warfarin.
Yeah.
And it's 5 milligrams, and she suffers from back pain quite often lately, and she was just wondering if taking like Advil or Tylenol or any of those painkillers would affect her.
This is a great question. This is a great question, Chris. You know, okay, so you got a 93-year-old who for some reason is taking warfarin, which is a blood thinner. That's a little bit of a precarious situation, because 93-year-olds have a tendency to fall, they injure themselves, and sometimes they hit their heads. So already she's at risk, because we've thinned her blood, probably because she has atrial fibrillation, some kind of heart problem where she needs to prevent strokes with a little bit of warfarin. All right, maybe we got to accept that, because what would be more devastating is if she got a stroke, but she's at risk. So if you were to take Advil, you tend to erode the stomach lining, particularly in an older individual who's more susceptible to medication side effects. And it would really be catastrophic if she eroded her stomach lining and she was on a blood thinner. Then she could literally bleed to death. So I would stay the heck away from any kind of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, Motrin, ibuprofen, Aleve. You know, don't go there. And besides, here's the other thing. They recently reviewed these over-the-counter medications for back pain. And what they discovered is that they don't really provide relief over placebo. Yeah, I mean, sure, a lot of people say, well, I took an Advil, I feel better. Well, that's a placebo response. And even to a greater extent, Tylenol has minimal effects, if any, against back pain. So, I mean, if she wants to take something and, you know, she doesn't take too much, you could take a couple of Tylenols. I definitely would stay away from Advil and its ilk, because the risk of bleeding is too great. And besides, the benefits are not too great. You know, maybe something like gentle massage, you know, a little bit of gentle chiropractic, you know, maybe applying a heat pack or something like that. These are, you know, natural manipulations that, you know, sometimes help back pain. And, of course, at 93, there's every reason to expect you might have back pain because the spine gets arthritic and people lose flexibility and there's pressure on the nerves.
So the risk would outweigh the rewards on this then?
For sure. That's what we're looking for, that risk-reward equation. And we got, 93-year-old, you don't want to tip the balance too far because things can go
down. I have one other quick question, if you don't mind.
If it's quick.
I have a bunion on my foot, and do you know at what point those should be removed, or is it important to remove those?
It's not really important to remove them. It's just a matter of preference, and, podiatrists and foot surgeons can remove them. But, I don't think that a bunion per se isn't going to, turn into something dangerous. It just, and bunions are actually the way that the foot protects itself from constant abrasion. So in some cases, a bunion will get in the way. But it may be your foot's way of protecting itself from, the tight foot where you're subjecting it to. That's what I think. All right. Thanks very much for your call. Our number.
Thank you very much, doctor.
My pleasure. 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Huffman with you, and a couple of great podcasts this week. We talk about chelation therapy and a new trial underway to evaluate the effectiveness of chelation therapy for reducing death after a heart attack. Check it out at drhoffman.com. If you were subscribing, you would have gotten that podcast in your inbox. You can go to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe. And a second great podcast on the subject of methylation. We talk about homocysteine. We talk about the importance of B vitamins to address all manner of health problems. And that's a great conversation that you can be part of if you go to drhoffman.com and download the podcast. There are 4 additional hours of quality listening available to you besides this weekend radio program. If you go to drhoffman.com, simply download the podcast and listen to them at your leisure. All right, let's now take a call from Cheryl. How you doing, Cheryl?
Yes, I was wondering if trazodone 150 milligram, hydrocodone, which TAMIN 325 milligram, methocarbam 750 milligram, diclofenac 75 milligram, and gabapentin 600 milligram. If taking that all together, can that cause a heart attack?
That's a pretty amazing question. I'm trying to write down as fast as I can all these different medications. But, clearly you're talking about a pretty deadly cocktail there. That could stop a charging rhino. Trazodone, hydrocodone, You know, I think there was an anti-seizure medication in that mix. And, you know, so, you know, could it cause a heart attack? Yeah, potentially. Could it cause you to slip into unconsciousness? Could it cause you to feel groggy and fall down and bonk your head? Could it cause your blood pressure to drop precipitously? There are numerous possibilities with that, what we call polypharmacy. It's a multiplicity of things. And if I had, and this is a recorded call, if I had Cheryl on the line, I'd say, is this you or is this someone you know who's taking all these medications? And why is the doctor simultaneously prescribing so many drugs? It's almost like, you know, if you go to four different doctors, they each have an idea of what you need. And at the end of the day, you end up with medications that have an added effect. You know, trazodone, which is an antidepressant, sometimes in low doses, good for sleep, but that's a pretty high dose of trazodone. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, theoretically, heart attack, but short of a heart attack, a lot of problems with that witch's brew. All right. Can soy be good for your heart? That's a question that Japanese researchers recently answered. And they also looked at not just soy, probably in the form of tofu or in the form of edamame, which is when you go to a Japanese restaurant, they give you those little green soybeans. Sometimes they heat them up, put a little salt on them. They're a very nice little appetizer before your sushi meal. There's something called natto, which is used a lot in Japan. And it's kind of an exotic taste for Americans, an acquired taste, because it's a fermented soy, kind of sticky, gooey blend of soybeans that have been fermented. And it is particularly rich in vitamin K, which we know is heart healthy. Just soybeans or tofu, not particularly rich in vitamin K. But what they found was that the highest intake of total soy and natto was significantly associated with a decreased risk of dying from stroke and heart attack. The highest quarter of the population taking natto also had significantly reduced risk of dying from a stroke. And so, and this is a big deal in Japan because, for one reason or another, possibly because of the high consumption of salt in Japan, lots of soy sauce, lots of fermented food, there's a much higher incidence of stroke in Japan than in the United States. Lower risk of heart disease. But when it comes to cardiovascular risk, soy seems to be protective. Other problems associated with soy, some people allergic, may slow thyroid function, some people have digestive problems, possibly associated with autoimmunity for patients on a paleo diet, so they avoid soy. When it comes to heart protection, soy seems perfectly good. So there you have it on the soy story. All right, this item. It has been suggested that cat ownership could be linked to mental disorders. I mean, you see in the headlines, your cat could make you crazy. And that is via something called toxoplasmosis. Toxoplasmosis is an infection that you can acquire from your cat. And amazing statistic, it turns out that one-third of the people across the globe have been exposed to toxoplasmosis. And it's thought to create subtle brain changes. Certainly in animals, it's been shown to change their behavior. But a new study, here's good news for cat owners, exonerates cat ownership from being a factor for psychosis. That's good news. Now, you want to keep your cat away from pregnant women and those with compromised immune systems because toxoplasmosis can cause serious health problems, especially in HIV patients, a very serious infection. If your immune system is suppressed or if you're on cancer chemotherapy, if you're on immunosuppressive drugs for an autoimmune disorder, not a great idea to have a cat. But with the good news comes some bad news. Could your cat give you Alzheimer's? Scientists claim that cats are putting their owners at risk of Alzheimer's. Now, this has not been conclusively demonstrated, but studies suggest that the parasite can lead to Alzheimer's disease. Risk factors for exposure: cleaning cat litter, not a great idea for pregnant ladies. Snuggling up too close to your cat. These may put you at risk of acquisition of toxoplasmosis. I don't know. This possibly the most controversial story that I've shared with you today, and I'm going to get hate mail from cat owners who are not at risk for psychosis, but maybe, just maybe, at higher risk long-term for neurodegenerative brain disorders like dementia and Alzheimer's. It'll take us a while to figure that one out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us this hour. More to come in hour two of this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.